And good morning, everyone. Good morning. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, your host for this program, and today we're going to have a very exciting conversation with Katrina Taylor. Katrina is a mother, a writer, an empathic reminder, an apt pupil of the cosmos, and a modern-day mystic. She's a life coach, animal communicator, and professional pet groomer. And today we're going to be talking about some of the personal aspects of the ascension process, which really means connecting to our quantum reality and living in harmony with our divine presence. We're going to be talking about the ancients, our ancestors, the spirit of our Mother Earth, and her elementals, and with that I would say connecting to the divine feminine. And we're also going to be talking about our own divine guidance, which we more commonly think of as our human soul. I just want to say hello and welcome, Katrina, to Heart of Mind Radio.
Wow. Good morning. What an introduction.
Good morning. Yeah, it's so good to talk to you today. And I just want to let our audience know that Katrina and myself have been working on a number of projects, and I have just come to realize how deeply insightful she is and how connected she is to the wisdom of our cosmos, of our world, of our reality. So I'm so looking forward to this conversation, Katrina. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yes. So I would really like to start by letting people know a little bit more about yourself. I know that you work in many different genres and different fields. You have a deep connection to the animal world, but also a very deep connection to Earth, our Mother Gaia. So maybe give a little bit of your journey, how this began to arise in you, and how you came to have some of the insights that you do share.
Yeah, sure. It's really interesting, you know, to hear you describe me in those terms, because for me, these things are just light. And, you know, you and I talked before, the kinds of connections I feel, I sense that every child is born with. Life on Earth, in this kind of matrix layover world, crushes that out of us, some of us, sooner, you know, than later. But for me, when I, you know, think about these questions, some part of me never quite landed in this, but I term as the matrix layover. Some part of me never forgot. And I, looking back, you know, I feel this relentlessness that's just always been present, no matter how, you know, tough it's been. And, you know, at the end of all this, I can say that, not at the end, but at this point in the journey, I can say that the biggest effort for me has been to be myself. There's so many energetics, so many ways and structures in place to pull us outside of ourselves and fit us into lines, fit us in between certain lines. And for some reason, I was just never able to do that. So in terms of how this got started, I'd say from birth and probably before then.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. And I can connect with that as well. There's always been something inside of me calling me to something that was different to what I was witnessing in my life and in the world. And certainly, as I was growing up, I didn't quite understand what that was about. But as I've grown into myself, I can see that there was this sort of this song playing in the background of my consciousness that was always present. And as I've become an adult and become more connected, I'm hearing that song more clearly, that message from the greater aspects of existence, I suppose. I could describe it.
Yes. Yes, so, I really believe that's true, honestly, of most people. And isn't it interesting? Because I feel like, you know, we spend so much time trying to mold ourselves to be acceptable, to be successful in the eyes of the world. And ultimately, you know, with all the changes happening in the world now, we're looking around and folks are pretty much coming to this original point, right? You know, mm-hmm. love is the answer. And these things that we've tried to change within us or forget, you know, these fantasy worlds or imagination are all like coming up on the forefront now. So, full circle.
Yeah, well, that's really true. And it's interesting that you mention imagination, because I think that's one of the first, well, not first, but ultimate things that get stamped out of us in our childhood, this sense of magic that we see in the world around us as small children that connects us to the divine world, certainly not without the understanding in our childlike thinking, but we just view that mystical magic as part of reality. And then there's this process where we have to turn away from that in order to succeed or at least even exist in the world. And when we lose that part of our childness, we lose a big chunk of who we are. How would you say that that came through in your life, in your experience?
Well, honestly, I would say that up until 2012, you know, when the pressure cooker, so to speak, mm-hmm. really hit, I really hadn't lost that. I, to the frustration of many quote-unquote adults, you know, and I've said often that that loss of imagination is really probably the main thing that makes being an adult suck so bad. You know, it's the part to be adult, we have to be practical, and we can't indulge in these fantasy that every five-year-old knows is real. You know, how can we, in this quote-unquote new age movement, talk about, you know, the law of attraction and all of these things, but then compartmentalize it and then come over here to be practical adults? It feels like this breaking down, this fracturing of a fluid whole, and then trying to examine the separate part, you know, really can't lead us to the wholeness that we seek. So for me, since 2012, I'll say that my journey has been to stand firmly in this knowing I've had since birth, because it's been truly challenged in these last 5 years or so. And but I can see the sunshine on the horizon. I see the reason, or, you know, some of the reasons, you know, the struggle, that it all does serve for our highest good. I don't care what it looks like. There's always this higher perspective that we can access, I feel now, more than ever, and the kinds of intense and extreme changes going on in the world are these birthing processes. I mean, there's so many analogies you can make, actual birth, labor. I mean, it's no fun. It's probably the closest I felt to death in my physical life, you know, but right on the other side of that feeling is this inexplicable creation, you know, that, yes, you've had a hand in, but not really. This broader, greater intelligence has brought this beautiful being into the world through you. And so the caterpillar and the chrysalis, you know, surely it's not comfortable when it's, you know, obliterating. It cannot feel good. But on the other side of that is this completely new mystical being, butterfly. Transformation happens. And so, you know, for when things get really rough and challenging, I try to remember these things, keep these things in mind, because it's the truth of our experience. It's the truth, in my view, of the human journey, that there are no punishments. We're not we don't go through bad things because there's some vengeful God that's punishing us for wrongdoing. That just doesn't really exist in my world. And, you know, focusing on it that way is not helpful. So, I'm coming into a greater harmony with my child's wisdom, because anyone who knows me, children, knows that they come out with the most pure, unadulterated, interesting word when you think about being an adult, unadulterated wisdom, you know, because they're so close to where we come from. They haven't been so compressed with this matrix layover. So that's mm-hmm. where I'm at in terms of this child, healing the wound in the child within me so that the grown-up, you know, can express fully in this world.
Yeah, I can see that connection to that inner child, and it's really quite remarkable from my perspective that you were able to really keep that alive within you. And I certainly felt some essence of it, but as I was moved into adulthood, I did feel more of a disconnect from the wisdom of my inner child. And it was really through a process that I began to reintegrate that wisdom into who I am now. So, and it really is true that a lot of this happened in connection with the transition of 2012, which for people who might not recognize that date, there might be a few people who are not connected to the wisdom of the Mayan people. As we know it, it's the Mayan people who created this calendar that charted all of human existence, really. And then even predating that, they charted the evolution of the planet. And then at this juncture that happened in 2012, it was prophesied that all of the old would come to an end, and then there would be a transition into this new existence. But they didn't really tell us what that would look like, what it would feel like, or even guarantee that it would occur. So my sense is that humanity for many, many millennia were on a trajectory which would indicate that we wouldn't survive this transitional point. But it seems that we have survived it and that we are moving on to this new enlightened potential. So how would you describe for people how they can connect with that understanding of this opportunity that is presented to us right now in our current time?
Okay, how to connect. You know, I would say, I'll go back to what I said earlier. This journey has ultimately revealed to me that it really isn't about discovering myself. It's about peeling away all the layers that have been piled on me from birth and previously that are not me. So connecting to source, let's see, a quick exercise I can think of, and this is something that frustrated a lot of people when I've said it, but I can never seem to get away from it. There's so many things to judge in this world. There's so many wrong things, bad things to point our fingers at. That one finger pointing, oh, that's so awful. If that weren't there, the world would be better. I can never get away from those three fingers pointing back. And in those moments where it just seems ridiculous for me to even think that any of my behavior has anything to do with what I'm observing and pointing my finger at, there's always this nudge, always been this nudge that there's something here for you. And it's those most frustrating, most annoying situations that have taught me the most powerful lessons when I'm able to keep going forward towards those three fingers pointing back instead of, you know, continuing to focus on that pointing finger. Because it's never the deal, right? It's never, the pointing finger is never the reality, you know. The things that come to our attention, from what I understand, are usually things that we are or things that we judge. And both are both effective, in my view, to examine. And part of this whole peeling away of all the BS, you know, we talked about that with the BS, the belief systems. You know, we have so many. And I found when I really, in these last couple years, really started paying attention to the things that motivate me, that whole focus on being successful, what the world tells us that means, however that shows up, only pulls us away from who we are. So when we're able to just face what we think is so awful about ourselves in those three fingers pointing back, because truly we would not be judging outside, we're not this hole inside of us, it's not so bad. We're not ever hardly as bad as we tend to think we are. And it's really important to move past that discomfort. I mean, we talked about it earlier. The closest point of death that I've experienced in this life has been birthing a child. And that's what we're doing. We're birthing this new reality. And we can do it. We have everything we need. And one of the biggest things for me in this part of the journey has been accepting my part as part of the whole, you know, receiving help from others. I don't have to do it by myself. Creating safe spaces so people can feel, you know, be vulnerable. You know, we can just, if each person could do this personal tending of the vineyard, then we wouldn't feel so compelled to keep these masks on. We wouldn't feel like our vulnerability will destroy us, because it won't. And it's truly in these explorations that we find our true selves. These explorations with one another is where we find our true selves.
That's very true. And, you know, it's interesting you were talking about this sense of vulnerability that people are have a fear of, and it reminds me, it's a little bit akin to what you were talking about of feeling like death. I think when people are at risk for being completely vulnerable, the immediate fear is that someone is going to attack them in their weakest place, in their weakest points, and that they're not safe. But really, there's no safety going to be found in the outer world, or no sense of safety. That sense of inner power and safety is something that has to be derived from within. And I'm wondering if you could speak of how this is connected with our need to love ourselves.
Well, loving ourselves is key. You know, I look back just on, you know, the experiments I've done in terms of finding ways to express myself uniquely. And it's all been, you know, by the paradigm definition, I haven't been successful because I really couldn't follow the lines. I couldn't stay between the lines, so to speak. And this call in my spirit has always been, that is not the way. There was something about the hurting of people in between these lines that, you know, since I was very small, I couldn't get in line with. But you can only imagine, I mean, that if you're not willing to play along, there's a lot of pushback for that. And I'll say again, since 2012, the pushback got so intense for me that for the first time I felt in danger of losing myself. You know, it's like since 2012 when I really, you know, put in this effort to do what many well-meaning friends and acquaintances were telling me to do in terms of following certain programs and models and structures for success, it truly almost destroyed who I am. It pulled me out of me. Now, I'm not saying that this is the way some, you know, people have to really determine for themselves what works for them. And so if within, I'll go back to the three fingers pointing back, if within whatever group we're dealing with, you know, someone comes in, someone new comes into the group, and we find ourselves judging this, and I've had this happen to me, you know, it's just very unconscious a lot of times because there's a lot of programming going on in that submerged part of the iceberg, that unconscious part of us. And if we can just notice the kind of judgment that may come out of about this person and really reflect on why we're seeing it that way. And maybe for me, I've opened up to the possibility in those moments, you know, just loving them. Even if it's something they're doing or saying that I really don't like, they're here in my space. I have to accept that there's a reason. And just these little ways just seem to release a lot of old triggers that don't bring up positive emotions, you know, productive emotions, which is what I'm really striving for now. So I just say like that, like little exercises we can do just daily. Just observe our judgments of others or situations and determine, is it helping? Is it really what I want to bring to the world? Is it mm-hmm. really what I want to add to the soup? So yeah, I don't know. I don't remember quite what the question was, but I hope I answered it.
Well, it was a part of it because we were speaking, well, at least I was thinking in terms of moving into a loving space. And I think that what you were talking about, choosing not to judge people, you know, choosing whatever you might be feeling or thinking, but to shift into a loving space and really begin to really search within yourself for what this person is bringing into your experience and why, and to question ourselves as to whether or not we should, you know, move to that trigger of judging them, because very often judgment is about, you know, creating some kind of pecking order. Well, this person is less than me because of this thing. And so, you know, when we begin to look at what judgment is and what it's doing for us, because there has to be some kind of payoff when we're doing it, we can begin to also look at the judgments that we're holding about ourselves. And then when we can begin to address the judgments that we're holding about ourselves and pull those apart and take off those layers, then the love that lies underneath will naturally begin to radiate through, and the whole process becomes one of a much deeper connection.
Perfect.
So
yes.
that's what I'm hearing. And so I would like to go in a little bit with this connection of the love essence or the divine presence, because in a lot of ways that's what I see the divine presence as, that pure, unshielded, unyielding love essence that is the core of who we are as beings. So I know that you've been really getting in touch with this part of yourself and are beginning to understand more expansively your own soul as this loving essence. So perhaps you can speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. I kind of have touched on this in terms of, you know, all the layers, and I feel fortunate at this point. You know, I didn't always feel fortunate to be able to love. It's honestly kind of shown up in the world at kind of like Charlie Brown and Lucy in the football. And it amazes me that still, no matter how many times you know, the situation or individual had pulled that football away, I still just am a relentless lover. I just still trust. I still love. But what I feel in terms of the difference of my journey at this point is this long and continued examination of loving myself. And there was so much in the way of that, starting, you know, with my own family. I believe this is true of a lot of people. You know, there's so much trauma, and there's been so much trauma. We, you know, have been traumatized, humanity, for some time now. And even those whose lives appear very shiny and successful, I don't know anyone. I know a lot of quote-unquote successful people. I don't know of anyone who does not have this trauma within their cellular memory. And they've even, I mean, recently I've heard lots of talk about this new area of science, where epigenetics, where they've determined basically that all it takes is two generations previous of trauma for that message to be carried out through the cells of future generations, unless it's, you know, caught and checked and healed. And I think that that kind of thing is very evident. If you look around the world, not just, you know, with people of the melanated community, and that's why I even mentioned, quote-unquote, bright and shiny lives, because everyone is suffering. Everyone has been traumatized by this kind of unnatural forcing of this unnatural life. And we as children know this. Some of us as children get in line more easily. Some of us, like me, refuse. And, you know, that creates even more trauma because the world as it is, this matrix layover, is not accepting of divergence. They even make movies about it and shows. So getting to this loving space, because actually what I can honestly say, I have always felt a real love and appreciation for who I am. But the messages that I kept getting from the outside world from birth kept telling me that there was something terribly wrong with me. And so, like I said, I'm still in this process of full embodiment of myself. But it's well on the way, and it's taken me examining these judgments, because they only come from the wound within. Really going through that discomfort, no matter how long it takes, trusting the guidance of my source, trusting that, and breathing and getting into alignment with this fluid reality. Just a breath can release so much.
Mm.
And
yeah, I understand.
It's a moment by moment proposition. So, yeah.
Yes, it is. It really is a moment by moment, and for me, it's an ongoing process. And we can move through that spiral of life, and we lift through the process. And as some of the old programming flows away, and as we gain a deeper trust in who we are, we get to really express that love in our lives. We're going to take a little break to listen to a piece of music, and then what I'd like to do when we come back is to go deeper into that presence and how we connect with ancestors and with the earth, and really how this becomes part of our life and this cooperation that takes place. So we're going to first hear a piece of music by Walela, and it's called Earth Children. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
Just like the wind feels the flight of the sparrow, I feel you today. And just like the earth knows the rain comes tomorrow, I know you do. say that time can have an end, but you and I, my friend, are what we are forever. Just like the drum calls us brother to brother, just like the love of a child for her mother, I love you today. Time is not my friend, 'cause they say that time can have an end, but you what we are forever. We are the strong ones, long ago ones. You are our brother, eternally. We
welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is Catherine Davis, host of this program, and we are broadcasting over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And my guest today is Katrina Taylor, and she is a mother, writer, an empathic reminder, a pupil of the cosmos, and a modern-day mystic. And we're in a conversation talking about how we each and every one of us can make this deep connection within ourselves, and through those connections come to a more expansive understanding of exactly who we are. And we are quantum beings. So welcome back, Katrina.
Thanks.
And so what I really like to focus on for this segment of the program is this understanding really of what it is to be a mystic, to have this divine connection, to be empathic, and to begin to connect in a very real way to the ancients, our ancestors, the earth, the elementals. And so I know that where you live, that you are in a vicinity where there are still some existing mounds of the ancient civilizations of the Americas. And you've been connecting with your ancestors through these mounds, through the visits to the mounds, and connecting with earth and the elementals. I know that you work with crystals. And so there's a lot happening in this more expansive quantum connection. Can you explain to our listeners a little bit about what this has been like for you?
Sure. It's really interesting to listen to you know, the kind of, you know, categorizing of things. It's very hard for me to move, like, in those lines because of what you're talking about in terms of this connection to Gaia, you know, and spirit, of course, is just reality. You know, coaching is having a conversation. And so it's been really difficult for me to integrate the whole marketing of self. it doesn't feel good to me, mainly because of the empathy and, you know, the extreme absorbency I feel from the world and the judgments we have around it. The hierarchical kinds of judgments, like, if you're here, I must be here. And, you know, through this journey, especially these last few years, it's just become so clear the many, many minute ways that we had to do that. And it's all, you know, an effect of the program. It's not anything natural, even though it has seemed to become somewhat organic because it's so so intricately intertwined with our beingness. But during these times, I mean, I know a lot of people during 2012 were anticipating huge changes, like something coming out of the sky, just something big. In my experience, something huge happened. It just wasn't obvious in the physical world. There was a major shift in terms of this connection you're talking about. And it feels like on a collective level, all of these layers of BS are what's being cleared. And the wounded children, the wounding of our inner child collectively, I think is what we're experiencing in terms of the, you know, the conflict and the changes that we see going on for people. So being so empathic, I'll say, it just was normal. I really thought everyone was like me and somehow was oblivious to, for much of my early adulthood, you know, the evidence that that was just not the case. It just, the true reality of this world has made so much sense. I couldn't understand. But since 2012, you know, I had kind of this plunge into 3D. Like, I couldn't have this one foot. I wasn't able to just keep this one foot in this higher perspective. I was plunged fully into physical reality and the kinds of wounding that people are experiencing. And so I attempted to shut off the absorbency. I attempted to just stop receiving so much. But the thing about that is when you turn off valves, apparently you can't just like turn off a part of the valve, the whole valve can shut off. And I didn't feel my connection to source as much. And so I really was out here, like you talk about that, out in the 40 days and nights in the desert, I felt like that. I felt completely alone, which was something I had never felt before, really like this. And I wasn't able to access certain skills, certain tools that I used before. I wasn't able to really get in touch with that. And there were times that I really was not sure I would make it. You know, a lot of people left over these last 5 years. It's been intense. But now standing here, what I realize is that we are so much stronger than we realize. And pressure, this pressure has really served to shape this diamond of me. And like I said, it's still in process. You mentioned that this is a lifelong thing. This isn't something we get to. There's no there there. This is, I mean, we live in a fluid reality. There is no there there in any part of this multidimensional reality. And so this acceptance of this, like not having to look to some future event to be happy right now and love me. I hug myself now. I mean, like with real feeling, like I would in the past have given over to someone else and not really felt it worthy of myself. But I am worthy, and so are you, and so is everyone. And I feel like this kind of commitment to this inner work is all it takes to heal and bring about the love we all seek.
Mm-hmm. And I think that this is really a very important part of this journey is to make that bridge, to walk that bridge back to the essence of who we are and to be able to have that understanding and connection into the expansiveness of who we are as multi-dimensional beings. And I know from my own experience that I have felt the connection to the conscious awareness of my more expanded self. So I might very well actively seek guidance, actively seek involvement in my life and my experience and the connections that I make. And I find that my life has moved into a very flowing space, a very peaceful space where I'm not given to as much worry in terms of my own existence. I'm not given to as much judgment of wrong steps or making mistakes, and just into it like an understanding that there's this, it's like this moving picture and life is falling into place. But I'm also connecting deeper into that Akashic field where I may not be remembering specific lifetimes or connecting to specific ancestors, but those unresolved issues or unresolved aspects of being are coming forward into my life to resolve. So, for instance, I might have an experience of great sorrow, or an experience of great joy, or an experience of great confusion, beginning to recognize that it's not connected to my individual life, but it's more of a my connecting to that information that comes through the DNA, as you were saying, after one or two generations of having been challenged. A lot can come through after, you know, you're talking about 100, 200, 300, 400 years of expression coming through for resolution in our own lives. And I've been like given to doing certain kinds of ceremonies and really connecting with a much more expanded understanding of my experience to understand the fullness of who we are. And so perhaps you would like to relate to that in your own experience.
Yes. In the last couple of years, I've received some very, you know, deep messages from spirit along these lines about my own ancestry. And it's interesting because the messages I was receiving really didn't have a lot of support in the external world. The messages were showing up actually contrary to a lot of what we're taught. And specifically, on the ancestry of what's called African Americans. And so I realized in my meditations that I hadn't really identified as much. I was reading something or watching a video, and the person was talking about the journey across the Atlantic on the slave ship. And I realized in that moment that I didn't have a lot of resonance personally with that. Not, you know, saying I didn't, you know, have the feelings that travesty brings about, but it didn't feel like my experience. The more I looked into this, you know, searched and asked, the more I realized that I felt more connected to where I am right now, Georgia. Which was strange, and I tried to share it with other people, and I often got, you know, really funny sideways looks. But the more I searched, the more I realized that, you know, even in their own writing, the colonizers who came over to the Americas said that, you know, the folks here were looking like the Ethiopians. And that was my true sense, that in terms of the relationship of melanin to Earth, you know, that the original people planet-wide were dark-skinned. Part of the issue I feel that we're having right now is, you know, not accepting that reality. It's like, what's the problem with that? And that's part of the artificial overlay and attempt at certain things that each of us individually have to really examine for ourselves what we're bringing. You know, what do we believe? What are we holding on to and why? These are tough questions because we've been so manipulated and herded into these lines of appropriateness. Getting to the heart of you takes commitment. You got to really want to do it. So it was very helpful for me to just accept, you know, to look away from all this denial about what I was sensing. And, you know, when you open your heart, the universe delivers everything you need. And I was moved to listen to Ross Ben, you know, brilliant earthkeeper. And his focus on not only the mounds, but the stars and the connection really helped to move me into researching things that have helped to solidify my sense of physical self. I took my first visit to the mounds here, the Etowah Mounds in Cartersville, Georgia. It was amazing because as I approached the first mound, I couldn't look at it and keep walking. It was like, it seemed, like in my memory now, it seemed to be bigger than life. If I didn't keep my eyes just on each foot stepping in front of me, I would have run away. And I don't recall feeling that before for any reason. So I didn't make it. I, you know, step by step, I made it up the steps to the top of the mount. And so much was revealed to me. I could see the people. I could feel the communities and how they engaged this peaceful harmony with Gaia. And I was there for hours. And it was a specific work I was moved to do. And it's funny learning to trust oneself because it seems on the surface, I could have easily just dismissed, you know, this effort as just some whim of my imagination. And it was. But imagination, we forget, is creation. It's the co-creative force within us. And weeks later, I was sharing this journey with my daughter, and I had taken a little video of a picture, actually, of when I was first saw the first mound, and I sent it to her, and it was this little blue speck on the bottom of, I mean, tiny, tiny. I didn't notice it at all. And when I blew it up, it was an orb. And the orb had many faces in it, and it was just this light emitting from it. And when I saw it, I can't really explain the feeling. There's so much that blue energy ties into for me that we just don't have time for me to get into now, but it was a very powerful reminder and confirmation of my ancestral support, that this sense that my actual blood ancestry is from the Yamasee people who lived in Florida and the southern coast of Georgia is real. And this, as the more I accept, the more I receive, the more comes. And so it's so important because so many people, ancestry is ambiguous. People don't know where they came from. And a lot of folks, I know, like me, will just kind of dismiss it as unimportant. But some sense of yourself belonging to some tribe that you feel good about is important. And this ancestral one has been so fractured intentionally and really obliterated that it takes so much commitment to put the pieces together again. And the pieces come together again within us. We're it. Our ancestors are us. And I feel them calling for this resolution. They're like here waiting, celebrating at the space that we've reached. You know, so like to look away from the external so much and really learn to trust these maybe seemingly ridiculous feelings that come up within you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't find it ridiculous at all. I resonate very strongly with what you're speaking about. I haven't had the fortune to visit any of the mounds in this country, but I did visit a mound in Mexico, which is really the same lineage of people. And I won't say overwhelmed, but I would say I was really deeply moved by the energy of the space and sort of the peace and the sacredness of the space and kind of a I felt a really deep connection to the energy there. And so I can really resonate with what you're speaking of, because the resonance is with the ancestors, but also with the earth itself. And I think one of the things that our ancestors had was this harmonious relationship with Mother Gaia, Mother Earth. And I think that that is what we, as the returning ancestors in this generation, that's what we are called to do, is to rekindle this deep resonance. We, of course, we see it reflected in the current indigenous populations who still hold a lot of the ritual and have carried forth a lot of those teachings. But I think that we can each reach into our own Akash and connect deeply with the earth itself and the elementals. And we're just about out of time, but if you could speak a little bit about that deep connection to earth that this brings.
Yes, I mean, it's our natural state, this connection. And when you look at, I mean, I know for myself, and a lot of people probably feel this, when I have been inside of a building of any kind for any length of time, it can start to feel restricted. And you can go outside and immediately feel relief. There's something about the urbanization of the world that has contributed to this disconnection. We're boxed in a lot of the time. And so it's really vital, you know, whenever you can, to put your feet on the ground. When you talk about the ancestral connection, we know, I mean, progress for humanity has been thwarted by the activities and the plunder of the past few hundred years. I mean, that's real, and we've all suffered from it. So we, like you said, we have this opportunity now because Gaia is living. She's a living being. She's not some, you know, just a rock that we walk on. She is our mother in every sense. She sustains and supports each and every one of us in every way. She sustains and supports us all, and she also has felt every trauma. So what I've realized recently is, you know, I can support Gaia with my focus intent. We're basically picking up this thwarted walk. We are walking upon planet Gaia. This is where our feet land. If we consciously focus for that to mean something, for us to really connect with her and remember her as our mother, it's, you know, it's magical. We're magical. This reality is a magical one. And no matter how much manipulation has happened for us to forget that, it's reality. It's the reality I feel that's becoming more clear as this collective shadow of BS fades away. So, I mean, that's what I would offer. Plant your feet in the ground with intent and be amazed.
Yeah, it really is just opening to the intent and desire to make these connections, because it's very present. It's right there. It's not something that you could even really ignore because it's so present. So all people have to do is to have the willingness and the allowance to make these connections through the earth. And when we think of the earth as being a living being, that means that every part of it is living. The rocks are alive. The air is alive. The trees are alive. The sands are alive. And everything holds a piece of this tapestry of life. And even our physical bodies have all of the elements within it, all of the minerals, all of the substances of this life. We have it inside of our own body as well. It's what makes up the physical body. We are earth walking with a divine consciousness. And when we begin to really live as that, the doors open wide and we can begin to draw this wisdom into our experience, into our expression, And that's how we transform and transmute and create the world that we desire. We're just about out of time, and I just want to let people know that they can make contact with you, Katrina Taylor, through your blog link, and it's coachingbykat.me, and that's C-O-A-C-H-I-N-G, coachingbykat, K-A-T.me. You could check out the blog, and you can find out about Katrina's work as a coach, or you can email coachingbykat@gmail.com, C-O-A-C-H-I-N-G-B-Y-K-A-T, coachingbykat@gmail.com. And I know you do a lot of work, Katrina, around, you know, helping people in their personal lifestyles, how to get healthy, how to lose weight, as well as how to connect deeper into the truth and wisdom of their own being. So I want to thank you very much for joining me today. It's been a lot of fun, and hope to do it again.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Catherine. It's been great.
You're very welcome. And I also wanted to remind people that I have an ongoing Qigong series, and that's meditation and movement for body wellness and stress reduction, from 2:30 to 4 p.m. at Studio Maya. It's on Saturdays, 603 Bergen Street in Brooklyn, between Carlton and Vanderbilt Avenues. And you can connect with me either by email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, or by phone, 347-480-1694. If you missed any information, you can always connect and get that information, or go to the PRN.FM website, the Heart of Mind page. You'll find links as well as an opportunity to listen and download the program. So thank you for being with us today over Heart of Mind Radio, and stay tuned for more great programming over PRN.FM. Be blessed, and bye for now.